بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our readings. ولله الحمد. In the book نصيحتي للنساء, My advice to the women, by Abdullah Al-Wadi'iyya, Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala. We complete the chapter today بإذن الله تعالى حفظ اللسان وفضله, the protection of the tongue, or the obligation of protecting the tongue, and also its virtue. The mention of protecting the tongue and the mention of the virtue of the tongue. And we have seen how virtuous the tongue can be and beneficial for an individual who thinks before they speak and speaks in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal in the proper time and in the proper manner, and who refrains from speaking in a manner that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This type of individual, they will have reaped a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongue, by praising Him and mentioning His greatness and remembering Him and reciting His words and calling and aiding others likewise to remember Him and to mention Him and to recite His words and to follow His book. As for those who have left their tongue without any reins and have said whatever they have desired, then they will find that they have a great calamity when they meet their Lord, because the tongue is something that is light and easy to use, although it can be very dangerous for an individual. And we have seen some of the narrations with regards to this, and I remind myself and the sisters of this narration we read last week, called Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. ما حج ولا رباط ولا جهاد أشد من حبس اللسان. That making hajj and not standing guard against the enemy and nor fighting in the path of Allah, none of this is more severe or hard, none of this is more difficult than refraining or controlling the tongue. ولو أسبحت يهمك لسانك أسبحت في غم شديد. This is an amazing statement of Al-Fudayl rahimahullah. And that if you were to wake up in the morning and you're concerned about your tongue, then you would wake up with much grief and remorse and much worry and concern. You'd be very concerned and worried, because the one who wakes up and he ponders over what he has said in his life, then he will remember that he has said many things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this would concern him and this would worry him. And the one who is sincere, this will cause him to repent. It would cause him to repent. So we continue reading from where we have left in our previous class. We were discussing the issue of the great hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Muslim, the true Muslim, al-Muslim, kamilul iman, al-Muslim, haqqan, the true Muslim, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The true Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. And we have seen likewise, the author, she has mentioned here a very important point for a believer to realize and to understand. And she mentioned, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَحِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That guarding the tongue and protecting the tongue from being used in the disobedience of Allah, this is from the completeness. This is from the completeness of al-Islam. Yes, from the completeness of al-Islam. Meaning that there can be somebody who is a Muslim and has entered into the fold of Islam, but their Islam is deficient. One of those aspects of bringing deficiency and weakness into the Islam of an individual is not preserving and protecting the tongue. Is not preserving and protecting the tongue from the foul and indecent statements, from the statements that are impermissible and the statements that are haram. She says, وَحِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And she mentions here, أخرج البخاري مع الفتح والمسلم واللفظ للبخاري من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو ابن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. That has been narrated by Bukhari likewise and Muslim. And the wording here she mentions is the wording of al-Bukhari from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the true Muslim, or the Muslim that has the complete Iman, the strong Islam, is the one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. This hadith has been narrated on many companions, more than one, on Abdullah ibn Amr, like she mentioned here, likewise on Abi Huraira, likewise on Abi Musa, and other than them, if I remember correctly, likewise Jabir, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. Here we have another wording that we can see that will also support. In the ulama, they mention here with the wording here, she mentioned al-Muslim. The alif and lam here means al-Muslim, meaning al-Muslim, kamilul iman, yani the complete Muslim. The complete Muslim with the complete faith, with the good faith, al-Muslim. That's understood here from the alif and lam, yani the true Muslim. Al-Muslim. This is the one. The true Muslim is the one who the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. But we have another wording likewise that is in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's from the narration of Abi Musa. And he said, radiyallahu anhu, قالوا يا رسول الله أي الإسلام أفضل أي الإسلام أفضل. And they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the companions, they asked. This shows their understanding likewise. This shows their understanding likewise that Islam and the deeds of al-Islam and Iman, they fluctuate. And likewise, according to the compliance of those deeds, then a person's Iman and his Islam likewise will fluctuate. So not all of the believers are on one level and one rank and one status, not in this life nor in the hereafter. So they said, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Messenger of Allah, أَيُّ الْإِسْلَامِ أَفْضَلِ Which Islam is the best, the most virtuous? What ayu khisal, which attribute or which part of Islam is the most virtuous? Afdal. Naam, Allahu Akbar, this great question. Seeing that the companions, they know that there are actions in Islam, some of them are more virtuous than others. Which of them are best? Which of them is the most virtuous? Which of the attributes? In one narration, ayul muslimin, afdal. Which of the Muslims are best? And which of the Muslims are the best and most virtuous of the Muslims? In all of these narrations, the response is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَالَ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ And in the same narration here, the author has mentioned, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ Allahu Akbar. The one who has the best Islam, or the most virtuous Islam, or the best of the Muslims, he is the one who the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So this is clear evidence, as the author mentioned, حِفْظُ الْلِسَانِ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ حِفْظُ الْلِسَانِ مِنْ كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ These are just a few words, but it's very, very beneficial to understand and to realize that from the completeness of a person's Islam is that they preserve and they protect their tongue, and that they're cautious with what they speak about and what they say, and that they are leery of their tongue, and they're concerned about their speech, and they think before they act. As we have seen previously in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ That whoever truly believes in Allah and the last day whenever the reckoning comes, whenever the meaning of Allah is there, and those words and statements will be taken into account, then let him say that which is good or be silent. We have seen likewise that this can only occur for the one who thinks before they speak. Is it good? If so, he speaks. If it's not, he's silent. The only way to apply this is to think before speaking. This is the case. And likewise, for the rest of the Muslims to be safe from one's tongue and one's hand, they have to think before they speak and before they act. And they have to weigh their actions and think likewise about the outcome of what they say and what they do. Sometimes there may be a true statement or beneficial action, but it may bring about harm because it's not presented in the proper manner or at the proper time. So a believer will think before they speak, think about the statement and also about the result. think about the statement and also about the result. So we see here that the Muslims, they are not on one same level. Rather, they are different. And which of the Muslims are the best, or which of Islam is the best? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi." The one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. But this must be restricted to the understanding, meaning after they have established the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we see here that this narration is with regards, and it is related to the rights of the people and the other Muslims. And as has come in the narration narrated by Ibn Hibban, or the wording by Ibn Hibban, Rahimahullah, man salim al-nas. So the Muslims specifically, but all mankind, they must be safe. It's not permissible to take the right of a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Man salim al-nas min lisanihi wa yadihi. This is one narration. And this is more general, the understanding. And this is correct and true. That first and foremost, the Muslims, they must be safe from a Muslim's hand and from his tongue before their Islam is complete. But likewise, the non-believers, the non-Muslims also, they have rights and they must not be violated either. But if we look into this narration, it's with regards to the rights of the people, the rights of the people. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Fath al-Bari, a statement of al-Khattabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَالْمُرَادُ أَفْضَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَنْ جَمَعَ إِلَىٰ أَدَاءِ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ Ta'ala ada'a hukuk al-nas. Meaning, this is the proper understanding of this narration, that what is intended by the best and most virtuous of the Muslims, they are the ones who have gathered along with performing the rights of Allah, along with that they perform the rights of the creation. Because this is, for example, somebody may understand this narration and think that because the Muslims are safe from his tongue, he doesn't harm them, he doesn't backbite them, and then likewise he doesn't to harm them with his hand likewise, but then he falls short in his prayer, or he leaves off his prayer, or he didn't fast. This would not be correct, and he would not be from the best of the Muslims, and his Islam would not be considered the most virtuous of the Islam, and his Islam would not be complete. So then this narration is understood in this light, that after performing the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then after that establishing the rights of his creation, this is the one who has completed their iman. This is the one who has completed their iman and completed their Islam. So this is what the author, she has mentioned this wording here, al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 words here total. 10 words total. I encourage all of the sisters to memorize this hadith, to memorize this hadith and to understand it and to teach it to their children and to teach it to their family, to apply this narration in their homes and let this narration be seen in their conduct and in their manners and their actions with their husbands and with their fathers and with their brothers and with their sisters, that they remember this. And this is a narration that we memorize. Al-Muslimu, there's one word, man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. We memorize the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow them. Naam. So the author, she mentions, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ وَقَوْلُهُ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ قَالَ الْحَافِظُ فِي الْفَتْحِ تَنْبِيهٌ ذِكْرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ هُنَا خَرَجَ مَخْرَجَ الْغَالِبِ خرج مخرج الغالب لأن محافظة المسلم على كف الأذى عن أخيه المسلم أشد تأكيدا. She mentions some benefits from the works of Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, that the word المسلمون, من سلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون, that the mention of the word مسلمين, the word مسلمون here, this has been used, this is what is generally the case. Or in most cases, the Muslimun. It's not restricted to this word, as I mentioned before. من سلم المسلمون المسلمون هذا خرج مخرج الغالب. The majority of the time, this is the case. The Muslims, they deal with each other. So, and likewise, this is because the Muslim has for the Muslim to protect and preserve the right of his brother Muslim and not to harm him. This is even more emphasized. This is more emphasized. But he says, وَلِأَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ بِصَدَدِ أَنْ يُقَاتَلُوا وَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ مَنْ يَجِبُ الْكَفُّ عَنْهُ. Because the disbelievers, they are more likely to be fought, And likewise, but there are those from them, it's obligatory to not harm them. It's obligatory to not harm them. And the disbelievers, they're the ones that would rather with their tongues and their hands harm the believers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the Muslim specifically here, but the intention is not specifically the Muslim, but rather everyone that has a right. The Muslim, he comes first and foremost. The Muslims should save their tongue and their hand. The Muslim should protect their tongue and their hand from the rest of the Muslims. And he should not harm the Muslims first and foremost. But then likewise, the rest of the creation have this right. Likewise, the rest of the creation have this right. It's not permissible to take the rights of anyone in the creation. Ibn Hajar, he mentions وَالْإِتْيَانُ بِجَمْعِ التَّذْكِيرِ. Yeah. We're on page 28. Now at the top of page 29, reading from the Arabic version. Now, وَالْإِتْيَانُ بِجَمْعِ التَّذْكِيرِ وَالتَّغْرِيبِ. The hadith is on the bottom of page 28. وَالْإِتْيَانُ, she continues, we continue reading from the statements of Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala. وَالْإِتْيَانُ بِجَمْعِ التَّذْكِيرِ لِلتَّغْرِيبِ. The mention of the plural here, the plural is a masculine plural, al-muslimun. And this is because generally this is the case, or most of the time, especially in the speech of the people, in the speech of the men, they normally are speaking to men, and the address and the khitab is directed to men. But many times, or a lot of the time included in that address or that speech are women. Many times we find Allah Azza wa Jalla in His books, speech like this, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. All you who believe. This word here is masculine, but included likewise from those believers, the women. This is many times the case, that the men will be addressed and masculine words will be used. But what is intended likewise are the women. And they are also intended in the speech. And this is something that is normal. So he says, وَإِتْيَانُ بِجَمْعِ التَّذْكِيرِ لِلتَّغْرِيبِ فَإِنَّ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ يَدْخُلْنَ فِي ذَلِكَ. That this word, using the plural, the masculine plural, is just to the general case, normally like this, or most of the time, this is how it's used. But really, or also intended or included in this speech are the female Muslims as well. The female Muslims as well. So we wouldn't say that a Muslim, the one who's the Muslim males, that's not the understanding. The Muslim males are safe from his tongue and his hand. La. Included in this word al-Muslimuna, wal-Muslimat. They have also been addressed in this manner. So the complete male Muslim, or the man, the Islam of a Muslim or a Muslimah, will not be complete except in this manner, until the rest of the Muslims are safe from their tongue and from their hand. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, وَخُصَّ اللِّسَانِ بِالذِّكْرِ لِأَنَّهُ الْمُعَبِّرُ عَمَّا فِي النَّفْسِ وَهَكَذَا الْيَدْ أَكْثَرُ الْأَفْعَالِ بِهَا وَالْحَدِيثُ عَامٌ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى اللِّسَانِ دُونَ الْيَدْ لِأَنَّ اللِّسَانَ يُمْكِنُهُ الْقَوْلُ فِي الْمَاضِينَ وَالْمَوْجُودِينَ وَالْحَادِثِينَ بَعَدُ بِخِلَافِ الْيَدْ. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned some very good benefits with regards to this. Yani that the tongue has been mentioned specifically in this narration because it is the means to express what is inside the soul. And likewise, the hand has been mentioned specifically in this narration because the majority of the actions are done with the hand. And in meaning, that's not, that what is meant here is that, for example, the true Muslim is the one, the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. So then maybe somebody, if they kicked somebody with their foot, likewise, this is included. Likewise, this is included. Or if they headbutt somebody with their head, all of this likewise is included. Or with their elbow, or the lice like this, all of this is included. And the tongue was mentioned specifically because of the dangers of the tongue, and because the reality of the tongue is it's the emir of the body, and it mentions and it commands what is in the heart and expresses what is in the soul, and is dangerous in this manner. So it was mentioned specifically. And likewise, the hand, he said, rahimahullah, was mentioned, وَهَكَذَا الْيَدْ لِأَنَّ أَكْثَرَ الْأَفْعَالِ بِهَا, because the majority of the actions are done with the hand. But it's not any restricted to that understanding. So the hadith, he says, is general with regards to the tongue, without the hand. Because the tongue, it's possible for the tongue to harm people or to speak about people that have passed already. I mean, they have died and they have already gone away. A person, he can take the rights and violate the rights of people who have passed and died. Likewise, those who are present. And likewise, those who have not come yet, but they will come. They will come in the future. For example, somebody cursing somebody's children or their lineage, they haven't come yet. They can speak ill of them and the likes like this, and they can curse them. So the tongue is dangerous, and it's more general in the aspect that it can speak about those in the past who have gone and died. Likewise, it can speak about those who are present, and it can even speak about those who are hoped to come from the lineage or from the offspring of individuals who have not yet had children. And this is contrary to the hand. The hand can only do something now. But he mentions here Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah. He says, "Na'am, yumkinu an tusharika al-lisana fi dhalika bil-kitaba." But actually, yes, the hand can participate with the tongue with regards to this, and harming all these type of people, the past, present, and the future, by writing. Can participate and share likewise with the tongue, and the fact that it has the ability to harm those in the past, present, and future, or to speak about those in the past, present, and future. Likewise, the hand is able to participate with the tongue in this aspect by writing, or we can say today also by texting. And by texting, it's kitaba, same thing. He said, وَإِنَّ أَثَرَهَا فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَظِيمُ. And verily, the effect of writing, of the hand, the effect of the hand with regards to this is tremendous. وَيُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَرْعًا تَعَاطِي الضَّرْبَ بِالْيَدِ فِي إِقَامَةُ الْحُدُودِ وَالتَّعَازِيرِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ الْمُسْتِحِقِ لِذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ التَّعْبِيرَ بِاللِّسَانِ دُونَ الْقَوْلِ. He said here, but also what would be exempted from this, or what would be al-istithna, it would be exempted or not included from this, or the exception will be made legislatively from this, is that whenever one would harm somebody and he hit them with the hand in order to establish the hudud and the legal punishments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is not included. Rather, this is from establishing the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, establishing the hudud and the legal punishments. So this is not included here. And likewise, the ta'azir, there are the legal rulings and punishments that are in the hand of the Muslim ruler and the judge that are lesser than hudud, that are lesser than the legal punishments that are prescribed. And this will be decided by the ruler or the judge, how much punishment will be given. But as for the Muslim that deserves this type of punishment and it's ruled against him in the court of a Muslim judge, then this is not considered harming a Muslim that is not permissible. Rather, this is from establishing the legislation. This is from establishing the legislation. This is with Naam. So he says here, rahimahullah ta'ala, nuktatun. Nukta. A nukta, this is, the ulama, they say the plural of nukta is nukat. Nukatun. Some of the ulama, they have books called a nukat, like Ibn Hajar. But a nukat here, al-masail al-daqiqa, the very detailed issues and benefits. So this is a detailed or a benefit, that is a subtle benefit. He says, فَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ وَفِي التَّعْبِيرِ بِاللِّسَانِ دُونَ الْقَوْمِ. And then the person, he would express himself with his tongue without speech. Nukta. Yani the fact that a person also included in the mention of harming others with the tongue. Someone can harm with the tongue without speech. Without speech. The tongue can harm others without speech. And this is a nukta. And a subtle benefit. He mentioned, rahimahullah, he says, فَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ مَنْ أَخْرَجَ لِسَانَهُ عَلَى السَّبِيلِ الْإِسْتِهْزَاءِ وَفِي ذِكْرِ الْيَدِ دُونَ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ الْجِوَارِحِ. Nukta. Yani, so he says here, rahimahullah, the first one, there's two subtle benefits. The first one, yani, that using the tongue instead of mentioning the tongue instead of saying speech. He didn't say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the true Muslim is the one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his speech. This is not the expression that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. Rather, the expression that he used is tongue. The rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue. Ibn Hajar, he said, he didn't say, he didn't use the expression from his speech. The rest of the Muslims are safe from his speech, and there's a benefit in that. And this is the fact that included in by the mention of the tongue is the one that sticks out their tongue as a manner of mockery and belittling somebody. So sometimes somebody may not even speak a word, but they will use their tongue to belittle others. Somebody may walk in the room, and then a person may look at their friend and stick their tongue out in mockery of that person. That person doesn't know or see, but the person next to them sees them sticking out their tongue in a manner of mockery and belittlement. And this is also included in the statement, Al-Muslim, man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi. Also, even this here is included. This is the subtle benefit Ibn Hajar is mentioning. This is not permissible. The Muslims must be safe from this likewise. The Muslims must be safe from even this action with the tongue, to stick out the tongue in a manner of al-istihza. يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ بِلِسَانِهِ بِخْرَاجِ لِسَانِهِ, that he find mockery of them, make mockery of them, and belittle them by sticking his tongue out to show disgust about with them and to belittle them. So this is included here, and this is a subtle benefit that the Prophet ﷺ is included in his statement by using the word lisan and not the word qawl, statement, not the word statement. He said, رَحِمَهُ ta'ala, another benefit from Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah. He died in the year 852. Great scholar of hadith. في كتابه فتح الباري وفي ذكر اليد دون غيرها من الجوارح نكتة. And from mentioning the hand and not mentioning the rest of the body parts, and he's specifying the hand, there also is a subtle benefit. فيدخل فيها اليد اليد المعنوية كالاستيلاء على حق الغير بغير حق. Also included in the meaning of the Muslims must be safe from one's hand, not only what would come to mind first and foremost is somebody hitting somebody or striking somebody or taking somebody's wealth or the likes like this directly with their hand, also included in the expression of hand, he says here is the hand of authority and power and overcoming somebody, overcoming them and taking their right. And he says somebody has a hand over somebody, took a hand, and meaning that they have taken authority over them and overpowered them and conquered them. And conquered them. This is and taken their right in this manner. Al-istila, and he stole alayhim, and they say that he has his hand over them. This is also intended in this in this benefit here. And this is the end of the statement of Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala. So we see that the mention of the tongue, this is because the tongue is very easy to use, and it came first in the mention because of the dangers and the harms that come from the tongue. And the tongue, it even brings more harm sometimes than the hand. It even brings more harm sometimes than the hand. It has been mentioned from the poets, or a poet, جراحات السنان لها التئام ولا يلتام ما جرح اللسان, that the wounds of the weapons, they heal, the meaning of the poetry. جراحات السنان لها التئام لها التئام. They heal the wounds of the weapons, they heal, but the wound of the tongue does not heal. It's difficult for one who harms others with their tongue for them to overcome that. And this leaves a mark on the heart of an individual, and they speak words with a sharp tongue in a sharp manner. And sometimes, not necessarily always, is it the words exactly, but sometimes the manner the words come also can be sharp and pierce the heart of an individual and harm that heart and weaken that heart and the trust that heart has for that person and respect likewise. And although the wounds of the body, they heal, eventually sometimes this wound on the heart is difficult to heal if a person himself is not able to forgive others and the likes. So this is something that's very dangerous. And for this reason, the ulama have mentioned that the mention of the tongue came first. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi. It's made specific here, lisan. It's mentioned first, and it's also chosen above other body parts because of its great harm, and also because of the ease to be used. It can be used so easily and loosely. And likewise, the hand has been mentioned also because it's also easy to use, and the majority of the actions come with that hand, are done by way of the hand. Likewise, writing falsehood and spreading falsehood and spreading lies, or hitting others, or destroying things, or pushing people. All of this is included from the action of the hand. But it's not restricted to these two body parts. As I mentioned, we must understand if somebody used another part of their body to harm a Muslim or another person taking their right unlawfully, likewise, this would proceed from a deficiency in iman. If they hit them with their knee, or with their shin, or with their foot, or with their head, or whatever the case may be, or their elbow, all of this likewise is included. But these body parts are mentioned specifically because of the danger that they have and the ease that they are used. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows best. So the author, she mentioned, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَبِحِفْظِ اللِّسَانِ عَنِ الزَّلَّاتِ تُنَارُ مَثُوبَةُ اللَّهِ لِعَبْدِهِ وَبِأَنْ يَسْلُحَ لَهُ بِأَنْ يُسْلِحَ لَهُ عَمَلَهُ وَيَغْفِرَ لَهُ ذُنُوبَهُ. She mentions here also another encouragement by preserving and protecting the tongue from slips. زَلَّات. زَلَّات is the plural of زَلَّة. زَلَّةٌ زَلَّ يَزِلُّ فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. الزَّلَّة is a slip. When the foot slips, it's called زَلَّة قَدَمُهُ. And زَلَّةٌ is one slip. And زَلَّات are slips. But what is here is intended by any slipping into transgression, or slipping into disobedience, or slipping into a sin, falling into sin. So the tongue, whenever it's protected from falling into sin, زَلَّات, تُنَارُ مُثُوبَةُ اللَّهِ لِعَبْدِهِ, that it's the reward of Allah is obtained for His servant. And likewise, بِأَنْ يُصْلِحَ لَهُ عَمَلَهُ, and also from that reward is that Allah Azza wa Jalla will rectify his deeds. And the one who protects their tongue from the reward of that is that Allah will rectify their deeds. The one who protects their tongue for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will reward them and recompense them with good. And from that good is that Allah will rectify the rest of their deeds and forgive them. And forgive them their sins. The one who protects his tongue from zallat, from slips, then Allah will reward him or her. And Allah will rectify his deeds and forgive his faults and sins. And the book that I'm reading from, it says, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And it says it twice. The first one should be erased. And it's a mistake. It's a print. خَطَّ وَالْمَطْبَعِ. It's a typo. يَغْفِرُ لَهُ لَهُ. لا, يَغْفِرُ لَهُ. One time. It will forgive him. It will forgive him. She mentioned the proof for this statement. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. She mentioned the proof for what she mentioned, which is the way of Ahl Sunnah, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said that, O you who believe, fear Allah, yani obey Him, and say a word that is correct and straight and upright. Say the truth. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. A true word, a word of truth and honesty and justice. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أعمالكم. Meaning, if you do that, Allah will rectify your deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive your sins. And this is the result. If you do these things, if you fear Allah, and say words that are upright and correct, sadid, proper and just, truthful, and then as a result and a recompense for that, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will rectify for you your deeds and will forgive your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then verily he has obtained and won the great. He has tremendous, and he has won tremendously. And he فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, a tremendous outcome and win, prosperity. فوز means to win. He won the greatest prize, and this is the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His paradise. The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His paradise. So those who fear Allah, Allah would accept their deeds. Allah mentioned in His book, وَإِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah only accepts the deeds of those righteous people. So the one who is righteous and they guard their tongue and say that which is correct, قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He accepts their deeds. يُصْلِحْ لَهُمْ عَمَالُهُمْ, He will rectify their deeds and accept them from them, and forgive them and pardon them for their errors. And forgive them and pardon them for their errors. The author, she says, وَقَوْلُهُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, upright, correct speech. قَالَ الْعِمَادُ إِبْنُ كَثِيرٍ, she says here, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned in his tafsir, rahimahullah, ay mustaqiman la iwijaji fihi, meaning upright, correct, straight speech without any corruption or crookedness in it. Wala inhiraf, without any deviation, any straight, correct speech that has no deviation or corruptness in it or crookedness in it. And this is the meaning of qawlan sadida. Qulu qawlan sadida. Wa'adam wa wa'adahum annahum idha fa'alu dhalika athabuhum alayhi. And Allah promised them that if they do this, continuing the statement of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, that He will reward them. And Allah promised them if they do this, I mean if they say this qawlan sadidan ay mustaqima la wijaja fihi wal inhiraf, then Allah Azza wa Jalla promised them that if they do that, He will recompense them. Ibn Kathir, he mentions, what is that recompense? Bi an yusriha lahum a'maluhum, meaning that He will rectify their deeds for them. He says, what does that mean? Ay yuwafiqahum lil a'mal as-salihah, meaning He will give them success to perform the righteous deeds. وَنَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ الذُّنُوبَ الْمَاضِيَةَ, and He will forgive and pardon their previous sins. وَمَا قَدْ يَقَعُوا مِنْهُمْ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ, and also that which may occur from them in the future, He will pardon them in that. And then he says, وَمَا قَدْ يَقَعُوا مِنْهُمْ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ تَوْبَةَ مِنْهَا, يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ تَوْبَةَ مِنْهَا. Here in the wording that I'm reading from in this text here, there's another mistake here. It says, it looks like there's a ba' in the statement. وَمَا قَدْ يَقَعُ مِنْهُمْ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. After that, the next word begins with a ba'. There's supposed to be two dots here. Not a ba', it's a ya' from the verb يُلْهِمُ. أَلْهَمَ يُلْهِمُ. If you, I looked in the actual tafsir of this verse in Ibn Kathir, and it's proper like this, and this is the only way that it would make sense. And it's a verb here, yulhimuhum at-tawbata minha, alhama yulhimu alhim ilhaman, means to inspire. So the one that rectifies his speech in this manner, then also Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, and that which occurs from them in the future, He would inspire them to seek repentance from it, So then the statement says, وَمَا قَدْ يَقَعُ مِنْهُمْ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ التَّوْبَةَ مِنْهَا, يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ التَّوْبَةَ مِنْهَا. So we add one dot here, or we put a mark on top of it, pointing to the side of the page, and then on the side of the page, write يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ, the proper writing, يُوَلْهِمُهُمْ. Now, this is the case. So a believer, this is the end of the statement of Ibn Kathir, and the end of this chapter, It has been narrated from Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala that he said, احفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان كان في المقابل من قاتل لسانه كانت تهاب لقاءه الأقران. Allahu Akbar. It's been narrated from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, one of those great scholars of hadith and ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah. He died in the year 204. He said, احفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان, أيها الإنسان, oh man, you individual, protect your tongue. لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان, do not let it bite you, sting you, because verily it is a snake. كم في المقابر من قاتل لسانه, how many people are in the graves that have been murdered by their tongues? كانت تهاب لقاؤه الأقران. In one word, I read الأشجان. Sheikh Fawzan, in one of the times he mentioned this poetry, he mentioned كانت تهاب لقاءه الشجعان, excuse me. But in any case, what I have read from his poetry, when I search for it, it says الأقران, كانت تهاب لقاءه الأقران. So the meaning is that, oh you individual, protect your tongue, do not let it sting you, or do not let it bite you, verily it is a snake. How many people in the graves that have been killed and have been murdered by their tongue, and they used to fear their peers, or they used to fear the brave ones, to fear meeting. Like he was afraid of meeting somebody that would harm him. He was afraid of an individual. He should have been even more afraid of his own tongue. He was afraid of the enemy, that the enemy may destroy him or harm him. But in reality, in their grave, what they are destroyed has destroyed them, and what has brought them much grief, remorse, and pain, and regret, is their own tongue. احفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان لا يلدغنك إنه ثعبان كان في المقابر من قاتيل لسانه كان تهاب لقاءه الأقران. نعم. And we close with that. Inshallah, we begin next week. Inshallah ta'ala, the next chapter, من آفات اللسان. من آفات اللسان. From the diseases of the tongue. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.